Welcome to our Sunday message, Sunday the 9th of February, 2025. We'll start by reading two scriptures, both from the New Testament. Let's go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, and I'm going to be reading from verse 1 to 4. Luke, chapter 21, verse 1 to 4. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, Of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all those have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. Let us go to Matthew 6, verse 19 to 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Heavenly Father, thank you for this precious word. Thank you that we can enjoy it. May it work in our hearts and produce fruit. Give us utterance by the Holy Spirit and revelation by the same Spirit, that we might be better equipped to serve you in our life on this earth. We ask this all in the wonderful name of Yeshua. We have been talking about you and I finding our place in the body of Christ, not for the sake of being part of an organization, but because we understand that to be fulfilled in life, we need to find ourselves in the very middle of God's will for our life. And as we've been explaining, God's will for our life will always be in harmony with His great will for the earth. And as we've been saying over and over again, His plan is the body of Christ. There is no other plan. The body of Christ, if she is let loose, functioning properly, firing on all 12 cylinders as it were, will easily transform this earth into paradise here in this world. But the question is obviously understanding first and then you and I being a part of it. We have been saying that this process takes time. We move from where we are and God gives us the opportunity at every stage to move deeper and deeper, as it were, into the river. This final teaching in the subject, although of course there's a lot more that I'm sure could be said about it, but for the time being, we're closing this particular series of lessons with this last lesson. And the title of this lesson is The Great Connection. This principle is, I would have thought, pretty obvious, but somehow it's the one thing that many of us children of God struggle with. And therein lies the big question, why? But very simply stated, it's this. You see, you and I grow in our understanding of the kingdom of heaven, and as we grow in that, we should be growing in our participation in the function of the church and what God wants her to achieve. Please bear in mind, yet again, it's not a case of one size fits all. We're not designed, every one of us, to stand behind a pulpit. Not at all. We have gone to great lengths to explain that the length and breadth of what is needed in the body of Christ is so broad that every one of us will find a place. In fact, God has designed us to find a place in that. The body of Christ needs members to work, and that's what you and I are called to do. And once again, if we find the right place where we were designed to be, and we're able to, as it were, put all our weight behind what will bring glory to God, then we will be fulfilled. Not only in this life, but obviously in the one that is to come. Now, having said all of that, we realize that you and I start where we are. Many of us have our own agenda, as we've been saying over and over again. And there is a process of transforming our agenda into God's agenda. It's a challenging transformation. It doesn't just come easily. And there are a lot of obstacles along the way. And obviously, the more we get into it, the more, as it were, in the mainstream we become of what God is doing. However, there is no reason why what you and I do in our daily walk should not be part of this great plan. It was never God's intention that you and I, as soon as we bump into him, as it were, drop everything and suddenly become great ministers of the gospel. It's a process, as I've been saying time and time again. However, it is possible, right from the very beginning, to play a vital role in the kingdom of heaven. And it is by means of this principle that I'm calling the Great Connection. And very simply stated, that Great Connection is what you and I do with our resources. Put more bluntly, what you and I do with our money. Now, there are certain principles involved here, and there isn't time to go into a long discussion on the subject here. But these critical principles, as far as we are concerned with this teaching at hand, are simply this. You and I, with the resources that we have to hand, can make an immediate impact on the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven on this earth, as I've explained, needs help in many, many forms, not least of which is financial support. If you look at the life of Christ and his ministry on this earth, yes, he was able to command bread from heaven, as it were. He was able to get gold from fish in the sea. He could do these miraculous things, yes. But the stark truth is that he did not. Now remember, this is the Son of God operating on this earth. At no stage did he rely on that source for his maintenance on the earth and his ministry's support. The Bible is very clear that he was supported by followers who took from their own resources and contributed to the ministry. The ministry that he was involved with had expenses. Him and his whole team of disciples and hangers-on had to be fed, clothed, transported, etc., etc., as he moved from place to place. He did not move as an individual. He moved as a team. And as the head of that team, he was responsible for their maintenance. As we see, God ordained for it to be so, that the ministry on this earth would be sustained by the people on this earth. And that's been the state throughout time. We look in the Old Testament, there was often a call for support. And the people readily gave. In days gone by, there was one stage in Israel's history when, while refurbishing the temple, the offerings were so great, the priests had to tell everybody, please stop. That's a good problem to have, by the way. But you see, we need to understand this. It's not just a case of you and I having to fork out to support other people in the ministry. It's much deeper than that. And when we read the scripture about this widow casting in her mites, it touches on a very important principle. It's interesting to note that Christ, in his ministry on this earth, in the temple, and remember, the temple, the second temple that he had in his day, was a beautiful construction. It was magnificent, and I can imagine a lot of people around him, scribes and Pharisees, trying to extol the virtues of this beautiful temple, which, by the way, he implied he would destroy in 3 days, although he was speaking about his body, as we know. But while he's in this temple with all the worship going on, it's interesting to note that he looked and saw and was watching people at the offering box. And he comments that there were people, very wealthy people, who made a big show of it and put in a lot of money, as it were. And then along comes this widow, and you can almost see her trying to creep up to that offering box without being observed, because she realized by comparison her contribution was minuscule. She was struggling because in her heart she knew that this is all that she had to live on. And yet, despite all of that, she mustered up the courage and threw the money in. What was the Lord's comment about this? He said, of a truth, this poor widow has cast in more. All right? This poor widow has cast in more. Now, what she cast in was a lot less than the other people had cast in. So what was he saying when he said it was more? Is that an indication to you and I that God's happy with a few mites, loose change, if you can call it that, that we might from time to time see fit to throw into the offering? Not at all. The obvious point is that the value of the offering has everything to do with the proportion. The value of the offering has everything to do with the proportion. The wealthy gave in of their abundance. They would go home to fine homes. They would be able to feed and clothe themselves very well. Thank you very much. And what they had given, by comparison, was actually a pittance. But this poor widow, as it were, from her penury, which in modern translation is actually abject poverty, she took the little that she had. And proportionally, what she gave was far greater. It was probably close on 90-100%. It was far greater, all her living, than the proportion of what the wealthy offered. Now, the point is this, that, you see, there is a connection. There is a connection between what you and I give to the kingdom of heaven, our tithes and our offerings. That tithe and that offering connects us with the purposes of God. Let me just say that again. Your and my tithes and offerings connect us with the purpose of God. And you see, every one of us has got to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. The Bible does give guidelines. All the teachings on the tithe, as it were, are not strict rules, but they are constructive guidelines. And we haven't got time to go into that. But the big point is this, that you see, when you and I take what is ours and willingly put it into the kingdom of heaven, it ties your and my wealth, as it were, our substance, with God's. This is such an important point. You see, when we take proportionally from what we have and we diligently, faithfully, consistently put that into the kingdom of heaven, it ties us up with the blessings of God. Now, let's talk about your and my purpose on this earth. Remember, we've been saying that the body of Christ is God's plan for the earth. The moment you and I contribute to that plan of God's, we become part of that plan. If we don't, you see, in a sense, we isolate ourselves from God's purpose. Let me give an illustration. Imagine somebody has just retired and is planning on a wonderful tour through the country, road trip as it were, buys a beautiful caravan with bedrooms, ensuite, indoor swimming pool, home theater, you name it, satellite dish, the whole toot. All right, so this thing is now palace on wheels. And to pull this wonderful hotel, he buys a massive 4x4 with enough power to move the earth, and he's good to go. All right, everything is set. Come the day, he's dreaming of the garden route, the game parks, the beaches, etc., etc., and he wants to go, but what does he discover? He's got the power, he's got the hotel, but what's missing? The tow hook is missing. Forgot to put on a tow hook. And so he might, in a sense, have it all there, but he's going nowhere. Can you see? You and I might have everything going in our lives. We're all good to go. We want to serve God, etc. But we think that serving God will be just on our own mission and do our own thing. There needs to be this vital connection, you see. You and I need to realize that we are obliged by God to support His work with our substance. And there's a very good reason for that. Please note, it's according to what we have, not what we don't have. God knows we need sustenance on this earth for ourselves, and it's not His plan to take that away from us. But there must be this divine connection. And the point is this, you see. The moment we tie up our resource base proportionally with the kingdom of heaven, the moment we do that, whatever we do is now God's concern. It's part of His kingdom. If He knows that in my business, I religiously tithe 10% to His kingdom, now God regards my business as what? An extension of His kingdom. And He becomes obliged to support it, to help it, to expand it, to make it blossom. It's so important to grasp this. As one commentator stated, you can do far more with 90% and have God on your side than you can do with 100% without God on your side. There's a lot of truth in that. God wants to bless us, but you see, there must be that divine connection. And what you and I contribute to the kingdom of heaven constitutes that divine connection. And we might ask, why has God made it that way? As we've said, the Lord himself, even though he was the Son of God, could command food from heaven, etc., etc., never charged for his services. There was never an entry fee to one of his crusades. But people, followers, disciples of their substance contributed, you see. They kept the machine going on this earth. Now, why is it so? Well, I believe the answer is found in what we read in Matthew 6, specifically verse 21. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You see, where your and my treasure is, that's where our heart is. Let's put it another way. If you want to know where your heart is and my heart is, as far as the kingdom of God and our relationship with God is concerned, the easiest way to find out is to have a look at what we do with our cash. It's easy to talk. It's easy to boast. But the rubber hits the road when you and I have got money in our hands and the big question is, what do we do with it? You see? And if our heart is really for God, the greatest joy in our heart will be to make sure that, as the Bible says, there's meat in his house. The organization can function. The Church of God does not float around in a cloud. It has to operate on this earth, and as we all know, the world system is based on finance. To a large extent, the God of this world, by robbing the church of its wealth, has actually stifled her. I remember one great man of God some years ago, so these figures are relative, but he has, and it's still operating, a big ministry on the east of Johannesburg. And at one stage, his church organized great outreaches to what were at that stage known as townships. And I remember him saying that he had these big crusades and they would do their figures at the end of a crusade. Now, he wasn't saying that a human soul was only worth this amount, but he pointed out that in his crusades, if they looked at how many people responded to the altar call and how much that whole crusade with its tent, its personnel, its petrol, etc., etc., seating, everything like that, what that cost, if he took that amount of money that a crusade cost and he divided it by the number of people that were saved, it worked out in that day and age at about 10 rand a head. Now, once again, please, he was not in any way implying that a human soul was only worth 10 rand. What he was saying is that to get this ministry out there, that's what it cost. And what was the implication? Well, the more rands that he had, the more money that he had at his disposal, the more crusades he could have held, and the more people could have got saved. Simple logic, isn't it? Simple logic. So you see, we've got to face these things with an honest heart. And one of the greatest challenges in your and my life as children of God is, as we've been saying, to move our agenda to God's agenda. And how will we know if our agenda lines up with his agenda? Well, as I've said, a very easy way to find out is just to look at what you and I do when money comes our way. What do we do with it? That will tell you and I very clearly where our heart really is. We might recall that wonderful occurrence where the Lord goes to Jericho and he encounters Zacchaeus, the tax collector, in the tree. And as you know, he calls him down, has a meal with him. And afterwards, Zacchaeus, this man who up till then had been stealing from the public, swindling people, declares publicly that he will repay whatever he has swindled four times and he'll give half of his wealth to the poor. The Lord commented, "Indeed, salvation has come to this home." this day. True, there might be those who are called, and there are those who are called to a ministry of giving, in which case their preoccupation is with creating wealth and supporting the kingdom of heaven. And what a great ministry that is. And those people can expect their business acumen, their wealth, to increase exponentially. Why? Because God is in it. But for all of us, please note, whether we are at the top or the lower end of the financial spectrum, God is always looking at our heart. And as we said right from the word go, this whole business of serving God is a heart issue. A heart issue. Where your and my treasure is. Where we demonstrate to ourselves more than anyone else where our treasure actually is placed. That will demonstrate. That shows where our heart really, really is. In closing, I just want to read one scripture. And then we'll pray. Proverbs 3 verse 9 says this. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Honor the Lord with your wealth, and with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be full to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. May we all enjoy his great prosperity in our lives in every way. In the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen.